for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Whether you're forced to use the dollar, the euro, or the pound, around here we choose to use Bitcoin. This is Pleb Underground. How are you doing, Phil?
Doing very well, Walton. Love the intro. And before we dive into the Bitcoin hopium and the shitcoin corner, we are going to take a look at some stats. Here we go.
Stats, of course, brought to us by our good friend Ant at timechainstats.com. Go check it out. It's dark mode enabled by default, no cookies, privacy first, Bitcoin only. That's timechainstats.com.
At the time of this recording, the block height is 753,206. The Bitcoin price, 19,354. The total public Lightning capacity, 4,796. That doesn't sound like it's failed in the adoption. Anyways.
Well, actually, Phil, just briefly on that.
Sure.
A system that seemingly has not very much liquidity but is able to do a lot of transactions is actually showing that it's working remarkably well. Like, the fact that you don't necessarily need to have all of that liquidity on Lightning to enable all those sorts of payments, I think is quite significant.
I think that's a very good point. I think it's a very good point. All right, and the Moscow time, which is sats per dollar for the people who don't know, 51.66.
Yeah, 5,000. Again, I remember I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I remember when it went below 2,000 and I didn't think we were going to go back above 2,000. We're above 5,000, guys. Get buying. Let's go. Come on.
About $100 worth and got over 500,000 sats 2 days ago.
Insane. So.
Yep, it's stacking season. Okay. We've got some interesting stuff for the numbers. Okay, we got some interesting stuff for the numbers. Let's dive right into it. Here we go. Let me see what I got. Because it has been eventful. And as you know, we didn't release an episode last week. We do apologize. It's my fault. It's not Walton's fault. So blame Phil. Anyways, here we go. Let's take a look. What do I got?
It's got to be your fault once in a while, Phil, right?
It's pretty much always my fault. All right. You may be wondering how this is numbers related, but let me proceed. Here we go. This is a tweet from at CSU Wildcat. Here we go. We're playing this game, are we? Okay, gloves off. By this exact measure, people using clothes dryers last year instead of hanging clothes and being patient are responsible for 80,000 future deaths. Curiously, the authors haven't written any posts about this far more serious issue. A very good point. So let's take a look at what he highlighted over here. Bitcoin alone consumes around 150 terawatt hours of electricity each year. Producing that energy emits some 65 million tons of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere annually, about the same emissions as Greece. There we go. The comparisons to the countries, boiling oceans, killing everyone. Here we go. Research suggests Bitcoin last year produced emissions responsible for around 19,000 future deaths. Okay, let's just stop right here. I want everyone to really pay attention to the reality that we're living in, okay? Where really the corporate-owned media has no other arguments than to use imaginary future deaths from the energy that Bitcoin is using. I want people to appreciate this.
Not even that, right? The end, it's energy, power generation, and use of electricity, not consumption, right? Because you transform energy. You don't just use it. It doesn't get created or destroyed. The energy gets transformed. So in the case of Bitcoin miners, the electrical energy largely is getting transformed into heat energy. Yes, they make a lot of noise, so there's some sound energy as well, but that's much less significant than the heat. And actually, again, there's no carbon dioxide being emitted by the miner, whether you believe in carbon driven climate change or not. That's not happening at the miner. If you have a problem with power generation, then by all means, go and campaign for you know, changes to power generation. But that's completely separate from use of energy. And Bitcoin miners are buying that energy where no one else will. So it doesn't make any sense.
No, it really doesn't. And you know what? There's already so much amazing literature. I'm going to go in, because I save all these links. I'm going to put them in the show notes. There's fantastic rebuttals to all of this energy usage. And again, right, you know, to the people who don't value Bitcoin, okay, they aren't going to be able to wrap their heads around Bitcoin's energy usage because to them, they don't perceive Bitcoin's value. But when you perceive Bitcoin's value and you start to understand it, you realize that the proof of work is incredibly important. The amount of energy that it uses to secure value, okay, and to secure the UTXOs, that's important. So I think that there's, you know what I mean? Like, for the people, you know, the people that don't value Bitcoin, they're never going to see this. And we are going to hear this argument over and over again. But again,
what a better use of energy than to use it to preserve truth.
Very well said. Very well said. Okay. We're going to move on from this. We are going to move on from this to something. And actually, you know what? Before we move on to the next topic in the numbers, I just want to give a huge shout out to World of Rusty. Take a look at this video background.
It's just crazy. Like, the glow, smoke. There you go.
For a second there, I thought you were having a seizure or something. I'm like, what's going on? Starts Rusty, moving his hands. I'm like, what is happening? Anyways, okay. But yeah, World of Rusty, shout out to you, bud. This is fantastic. Look, okay? You asked about it 2 weeks ago, and we're using it, okay? So no complaining. No more complaining. No more memes and GIFs about the dude waiting, okay? Anyways, let's move on. Let's move on to something a little more lighthearted and not really numbers related, but I figured Bitcoiners would you know, get a kick out of this who aren't aware, because I just learned about this. So here we go. This was a tweet from @GayBitcoins, and it's a link to a Telegram group, the Triple Elite Memes Bitcoin Fight Club. Yeah, I've never heard of this, but anyways, it's pretty interesting, because look, during the bear market,
there were a couple of fights.
That's right.
Boom, right? So I think both both fights, Triple Elite Memes won. I believe Amish beat Ephesians, and Wooderson beat Fuckboy.
All right. Well, there you go. So those are, I guess, that's the outcome so far. If you're interested, and again, we don't condone any violent, you know, we definitely are not proponents of any kind of violence on this show, but you know, if you're into the Bitcoin Fight Club and you know you've got some beef and you're done building, or you're ready to build but first you have to fight, you never know, check out TripleEliteMemes.com/Bitcoin Fight Club. I gotta tell you, the bear markets bring out the most interesting types of entertainment in the Bitcoin community. I came
at the beginning of the last bear market. This is the time I love. I'm not gonna lie. Like, there's so many people running around going, ah! I'm like, oh, I don't care. Sorry, I just don't care. Like, you need to work. Like, focus on the real world. Start. Listen to Yellow. Right. Build. Actually build. Yeah. Okay. If you want to tweet about building as well, but no. Actually build something. It doesn't have to be Bitcoin related. You can build relationships. You can build families. You can build businesses. But get out there and build.
I just want to point out,
and then come back to Twitter and fight people. Okay, good.
I just want to point out, you're not going to see this kind of creativity during a bull market. I mean, you're just not. All right, we're wrapping up the stats, and we are going to move on to some Hopium. Hopium is brought to you by Crypto Cloaks. Check them out, cryptocloaks.com, for all your 3D printed needs. I've got the 3D printed Honey Badger. You could store a hardware wallet, sorry, a signing device. Or in my case, I've got, that's right, the Bitcoin FUD dice in there for safekeeping. Don't forget to use your Pleb Underground code for 5% off. That's 5% off, cryptocloaks.com. All right. Walton, what do you have for hopium today?
So, let me show you some exciting things this week. Now, the first story, of course, is that Russia legalized the use of Bitcoin and crypto, fuck shit coins, in international trade. All right, so the Bank of Russia and the Ministry of Finance have reportedly agreed to move towards approving the use of cryptocurrency in international trade. So, let's talk a little bit about this, Phil. I'm just going to get rid of that. Okay. I don't see why it necessarily needs to be legalized if it's Bitcoin, right? You have censorship resistance. You don't need it for international trade. But what we see here is Russia essentially adopting the Iran model of getting around US sanctions is to not use the dollar, and they don't really want to just do everything in yuan, because they don't want China to have that power. Essentially, they'd rather use something independent, and so this makes logical sense. What do you think, Phil?
I kind of have mixed. So we'll talk about the legalization aspect. To your point, making it legal, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, if somebody requires Bitcoin to be used, they're gonna find a way to use it. There's plenty of privacy tools out there, and using things like such as VPNs, to mask your IP address and whatnot, and of course Tor services. So I'm not really concerned about the quote unquote legal aspect. What I do find interesting, is that when this whole Russian, when this whole problem began, right, with the sanctions against Russia began, what happened was that there was a lot of news outlets, specifically corporate owned media news outlets, that were saying, oh, Russia's going to use Bitcoin to evade sanctions. Russia's, that's what they're going to do. And they didn't actually do that. The first thing they did was go and speak to the Chinese. That's what they did. And they started to use their payment rails. So that makes me kind of beg the question now. What was wrong with those payment rails that they now had to, that they now had to include, Bitcoin and shitcoins? I don't know. It just makes me wonder, right? Because they've gone on about a year without using them, and then all of a sudden this announcement, which I know, it can definitely be seen as hopium, but to me, I can also see the other side of it and be like, all right, well, what was wrong with that deal with China?
I kind of so
that
I'm
they're
with
not
you.
Saying.
I'm with you on that, Phil. Like I've kind of outlined the possible scenario, but yeah, realistically, like who knows, and do we care? Is it important? I don't think so.
And
but
this is why,
again, it's probably the big story of the week, at least in terms of the clicks. But let's have a look at some of the other stories of the week, some ideas that we've seen recently. So I want to share a tweet from a friend of mine, Corndelorian. A few days ago, Ross Stevens from NYDIG announced a new project he is heading named Wolf to accelerate development on Bitcoin and Lightning. Today, this Lightning growth has accelerated at warp speed the last year. Is there any wonder why there is Lightning FUD appearing? So I think this feeds very nicely into a narrative I've been building over the last few weeks, that how we get institutional adoption, or rather the adoption by institutions, is not necessarily putting Bitcoin on their balance sheets, but investing in companies that are going to offer products and services around Bitcoin and Lightning to companies, in the same way that card payment services and those sorts of companies offer services to retail businesses in the fiat world. And so we have more investment, more development from TradFi further into Bitcoin and Lightning.
Kind of interesting, right? Because this week we started to see some FUD, didn't we? Didn't we start to, like, I saw some FUD Twitter.
I feel like there's been a bit of a coordinated campaign to FUD Lightning,
like it, right?
From a particular group of privacy fans. I'm not going to get into it because I don't care, but like it's interesting. It's been noted.
But more specifically, it was called that Lightning adoption had failed, right? And really, there are no metrics for this. There are zero metrics for this whatsoever. In 2018, there was approximately 500 BTC on the Lightning Network. Sorry, and that's late 2018, early 2019. Okay, my timeline is definitely
middle of last year. It was only about middle of. Like maybe first quarter or early second quarter, there's only about 1,000 Bitcoin. So it has like quadrupled or more since in the last kind of year, 18 months or so. So there has been some quite significant progress recently. But as I said earlier, you don't necessarily, like, if you've got lots of payments happening, you don't necessarily need lots of liquidity. And in fact, if you've not got that much liquidity, but you've still got lots of payments happening, that actually suggests that the Lightning Network is working remarkably well. And so, I mean, if you don't want to use Lightning, you don't have to. If you want to use Lightning, use Lightning. If you don't want to use Lightning, I don't really understand why you have to kind of whine about it.
I think that there's also another point that people are missing, right? Which is essentially, in early 2019, there was 500 BTC, and now there's over 4,700 BTC. Now, a lot of times what you get is this disingenuous comparison, okay, to DeFi, which essentially is liquidity for the sake of liquidity, okay? The next
gambling holder is liquidity.
Hang
right?
on a second, Walton. Hang on one sec. Okay, so the next bag holder is your liquidity. Okay, Lightning, on the other hand, is specifically being used for real-world purposes, not just enriching a bag holder. Okay, that's not what Lightning does. Lightning has actual utility, whereas all of these bullshit second-layer shitcoin narratives, all they are doing is providing liquidity for liquidity's sake. There is no real world value being created other than a small group of people are being enriched at every level at the expense of a large group of fleeced noobs. So it's two completely different stories. And I understand that the FUD wasn't coming out of shitcoiners necessarily this week, but to me, I feel that the metrics don't exist, okay? Like the metrics for a timeline, they don't exist, and they're completely irrelevant because we are literally building a payment system from scratch, bottom up. You have absolutely no data for this.
Public liquidity, right?
Thank you as well. Very good point. Public liquidity. We don't even know what's in those private channels. Anyways, it really pisses me off when I see that, and I understand it's not, you know, I also saw some other points, right? Look, Lightning is not a silver bullet. I've said this before. I said this when I was on Simply Bitcoin. I still believe this. I've been tinkering with Lightning. I've made payment terminals. I made one of those gumball machines that you pay in sats and it spits out the gumballs. So like, I completely understand. Okay. It is not a silver bullet, but it is a fantastic, second layer that gives people the opportunity to see what's possible and to develop on it easier than developing on the base layer. So if you ask me, Lightning is a win, but it isn't everything to everyone. And the people who tout it as such are the ones, unfortunately, they're doing a disservice, you know, by touting it as such. It is a reliable, good second layer that is beginning to enable new ideas on Bitcoin. But it's not a silver bullet, people.
Okay, Phil, so I've got one more little news story for you. One bit of hopium. Tweet here from Steph. I'm super excited to announce that we built a new Bitcoin peer-to-peer marketplace on a mobile application for the European market. So, Peach aims to make stacking sats peer-to-peer the standard. A little bit more about Peach. We have stacking and selling sats peer-to-peer made easy. Usability and customer experience are key for product adoption. Our goal is to provide the best experience without compromising on basic security and privacy services. Peach is a Bitcoin-only product built for Bitcoiners by amazing Bitcoiners. Once again, Pleb Underground. We want to highlight the excellent work being done by Plebs to further people's access to Bitcoin and use of Bitcoin. So Cappuccino, Bitcoin Labrador, Soul Exporter, Vitoshi 21, and JMEA Design. Here they are. They're building this for onboarding future Bitcoiners, and they say going to the moon. Now, okay, easy. But the app currently available in beta mode, and it's available in Europe. You can use euros, pounds, Swiss francs, even Swedish krona with SEPA, PayPal, Revolut, Wise, Amazon gift cards, and a bunch of other things. It's currently in beta. You can join. I requested to join a couple of days ago, and they've sent me a link. So I'm going to check it out very soon. Once again, they then disclose a little bit here. They're a peer-to-peer order book, but they are a centralized company based in Switzerland. But they do want to have support of trades that are under a KYC limit. Now, these things aren't quite KYC free necessarily. If you're transferring money from one bank account to another bank account, right? There is some aspect that could be tracked, but you don't necessarily know what's being paid for with that fiat transfer. Another service that is doing this, but it's not just another app. They are a company that wants to work on the Bitcoin standard. They say their incentives are aligned. What I see is Plebs building more tools for Plebs. Peer-to-peer buying of Bitcoin, I think, is something that doesn't happen enough. I certainly haven't done anywhere near enough of it. And I think it's something that we need to be promoting more, Phil. What do you think?
Yeah, so first of all, everybody should follow Proof of Steph. She's an awesome Bitcoiner, super low-key. The other piece, going back to the actual product itself, if you've ever installed BISC, then you know that we need more peer-to-peer markets. We definitely need more development in that respect, because the reality is that even though BISC is not difficult to use, even though the UI is nice, we need more of these types of things. And for the people who don't know what BISC is decentralized peer-to-peer market. You install the client, and you're able to see an order book of different amounts of Bitcoin for sale. But if I'm not mistaken, BISC for some reason made a shitcoin. I could be wrong, fellow Bitcoiners.
Like, or they have a DAO or something. I'm not quite sure. There's something strange there. It's like, I think there are other right peer-to-peer services like HODL.
Yeah, there's
HODL. HODL is a centralized platform, right? But there's trade-offs with all of these different things. Well,
there's also, you could also get Azteco vouchers. There's Azteco. There's also... Yep. Local Bitcoins, right?
Where RoboSats, you can buy...
which one? RoboSats?
RoboSats, yeah, over okay. Lightning, I believe, even.
So, I mean, look, we're starting to see more and more of this. Just to Steph's point, she's absolutely right. Like, we need to have all of these types of on-ramps, okay? Because at the end of the day, as much as people want to harp on other, other metrics, adoption is really the key. And the more people that hold Bitcoin, the more people that are going to think of how to use Bitcoin, and the more people that are going to decide to be creative and innovate on Bitcoin and with Bitcoin. So this is where that growth comes from, or at least that's where I believe part of that growth comes from.
Right, and there is this interdependence between the visibility of it to retailers and the visibility of it to consumers. I think that it comes in waves, right? Right. I think right now we've got a really solid swathes of plebs, and they need to go out there and orange pill the businesses that they're using, the ones that they want to survive, and get them on Bitcoin standards, and then they're going to orange pill more of their customers, and we get the next phase. Really important you go out and do that.
100%. So shout out to Proof of Steph. Shout out to it, what was that? Peach Bitcoin?
Peach Bitcoin, yeah.
Peach Bitcoin. Shout out to you guys for adding this incredibly positive, needed app into the ecosystem. This is fantastic.
Okay, up next we have the Shitcoin Corner, sponsored by Represent Clothing. Now, Represent is a brand by a Bitcoiner. They've got some Bitcoin swag there. They've got some sweet collaborations with MMA fighters, Nate Diaz. And I believe they're also doing skateboard decks now on top of the already stylish and high quality apparel that they already do. Like, you guys should really check it out. That's representltd.com. That's representltd.com. And that leads us into our shitcoin corner. Phil, what's been going on with the left curvers in the corner this week?
The shitcoin corner. All right. So, of course, next week, I think it is. I think it's next week or something like that. Who knows? The merge is finally going to take place, right? We've been laughing all these years. But people that just came into the space, they don't realize how long this ridiculous conversation has been going on. So we did some digging. And of course, Ethereum always leaves you somewhat confused. So we have this term that obviously confuses me, the TTD, which I have no idea. I have no idea what that is, and I'm pretty sure nobody else really knows what that is, and that's why we're going to dive into that and take a look at that as well. But before we do, let's take a look at the long, terrible history of Ethereum's move to proof of stake. All right. Here's a thread on Reddit. Okay, this is from a year ago, and here we go. For the people that aren't aware, the years of history claiming Ethereum will go to proof of stake started in 2016. And what's really great about this thread, okay, is that you can click on each of these links and it will take you to the actual thread from that time. So it's great. We've got the receipts. It's fantastic. So look, in 2016, talk of Ethereum soon will go to proof of stake. 2017, Ethereum will be switching to proof of stake. 2018, why isn't Ethereum proof of stake already? 2019, and this is where we start to see the ESG narrative seep in. Keep in mind, even though the ESG narrative has been around for a lot longer than that in different forms, okay? 2019, Ethereum plans to cut its energy consumption with proof of stake. 2020, Ethereum 2.0 goes live next month. No, that's not really what happened, because here we are, people. It's September 8th, 2022, and 2.0 did not go live in 2020. And 2021, Ethereum's proof of stake may happen sooner than you think. I beg to differ.
Fair, Phil.
I'm sorry.
If it ever happens, then it will have happened sooner than we thought it was going to. So there's that.
So you know what? That's true. If it ever happens, it will be sooner than we thought. That's a very good point, Walton. I appreciate that. Now let's take a look at, and Walton, you shared this tweet with me. So did Pirate. It's fantastic. By Samson. Here we go. So how does the merge actually get triggered?
Quality.
I was sorry.
I said this is quality. This is pretty good, yeah.
This is what got me wondering what TTD was. Okay, so here we go. So how does the merge actually get triggered? I was curious, so I did some digging. I thought it may be set with a fixed mechanism or readiness threshold, but no. Someone, probably Vitalik, will just say go, and then it happens. The complex charade is to mask the centralization. Indeed, but I also think it's meant to mask incompetence. Anyway, but that's my personal opinion. Okay, here we go. Let's read this. The original TTD value set in Ropsten nodes. Okay, so for the people who don't know, shitcoin Ethereum world, Ropsten is one of their test nets. Okay, so it's not real. It's The same way that Ethereum doesn't treat anyone's money as real money, this is also a testnet and, you know, fake money. So here we go. After this incident, developers have agreed to issue 2 TTD values in the merge activation process to introduce more predictability to merge activation timing. The first TTD will be an extremely high and unreachable value that is later overridden with a second TTD value after the Bellatrix upgrade is complete. Once CL nodes are ready for merge activation through the Bellatrix hard fork, they'll be fed a second TTD value that is more accurately calculated based on the latest trends in mining activity and hash rate. The second TTD will not require node operators to issue another full upgrade to their EL and CL client software. Node operators will be able to manually override the first TTD value through adding a single line of code. Wow, that really didn't mean much of anything to me.
Sounds like a load of gibberish, and it's like, why is they've got a hard fork that seems to be named after a witch? Like, none of it seems like sensible advancement of software. Like, what are they doing?
They're guessing.
They don't know. And actually, it is just Vitalik, right? It's behind the curtain is just some creepy dude that has a weird like Pokemon fetish.
I can't disagree with any of that, but I wanted to do some digging into this TTD thing because to me that it sounds like it doesn't sound like a value that you should be able to introduce. Like this, you know, if it was really supposed to be a form of hard money or it was supposed to be better than what we have now, I feel as though it shouldn't be weak in the same way that our current system of fiat is weak. And yet, it seems more fragile and weaker than our current fiat system. Anyways, okay.
Of course,
okay,
it
here
is.
We go. Let's dive into
Vitalik.
The... Huh?
I said, of course, it's weaker and more fragile. Have you seen Vitalik?
Oh yeah, exactly. You know, but okay. So let's take a look. Right here we go. We got an article from CoinDesk. The final countdown to the Ethereum merge has officially begun. All right. So here we get a little more information on the TTD. So that's the terminal total difficulty value. Triggering the merge has been set at 58 trillion whatever zero. Okay. This number, which will represent the cumulative difficulty of all mined Ethereum blocks, is expected to be reached somewhere between September 13th and 16th. According to the Ethereum Foundation, a nonprofit organization funding Ethereum ecosystem development, it's very important. Okay, that they fund the Ethereum development. The merge will cut the network's energy usage by 99.95%. There's that number again. And set the stage for further improvements to its core infrastructure. Okay, number one, 99.95%. They've been throwing that number around. I've seen that for over a year. They've got zero data to back any of that shit up. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. You know what? 60% of the time it works. 60% of the time it works every time. All right. Just like Anchorman, it's total bullshit. The statistic doesn't mean anything. A guy that sat next to me at work had a stat on his wall. Okay. Had a quote that said 87% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Well, and supposedly 7/5 of all people don't understand fractions.
There you Anyways, okay, but so hold on. The Ethereum Foundation funds, it helps fund the Ethereum development, the ecosystem development. Well, I always like to bring this up. Let's take a look at the board of directors. So who is on the board of directors? There's 3 people on the executive board. There's Vitalik, there's Patrick, who's their KYC AML expert, which is
and
why
then the World Economic Forum lady.
No way. Is that Aya Miyaguchi? Okay, so for the people who don't know, which I've outlined this several times in other podcasts in the past, but that's why we're not going to run through her whole history. We're just going to give this right here. She leads the foundation's work to support the Ethereum ecosystem through core research and development activities, financial support and guidance, and cross-sector education efforts. Aya's goal is to help Ethereum maintain this is fantastic language, its soul as an infinite garden. What the fuck does that mean? A decentralized creative space that is open source, inclusive, and permissionless. That That just smells like crap. If there was such thing as smell-o-vision, we'd be smelling it right now. That is a total load of crap. And this new piece here, because I have read this bio several times. This is a new piece. Its soul is an infinite garden.
No, but one sec, Phil.
That's some bullshit.
I don't understand what's inclusive about having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to run a node. Like, that doesn't sound very inclusive.
Walton, don't you understand? You could have bought Ethereum 5 years ago and it would have cost you like nothing. That's the excuse. It's just if you're stuck buying Ethereum now, okay? And the fact that 70% of it was pre-mined, the fact that it has no hard cap, the fact that you can't check the circulating supply, none of that matters, okay? Because it's permissionless and it's quote unquote decentralized on Amazon Cloud. Let's continue here because there's a little bit more information about the TTD. We're not done with it. We just have to take a slight pause and take a look at who's funding all of this. So when you think about that 99.95% number, okay, about how it's going to save the world, just remember who's sitting on that board of directors for Ethereum. Okay, very interesting stuff. Okay, back to the TTD. This very important number. Okay, it's very important. So here we go, the merge TTD, right? And I'm on notes.ethereum.org, so you could see, like, I'm not going to a biased source. Oh, wait, I am going to a biased source, but it's actually by them. It's by the shitcoiners. So here we go. The goal is to find a TTD value which is hit after the Bellatrix mainnet upgrade, but before the end of September. Ah, the timeline, it's very important. If the hash rate drops significantly, we can make a call to override TTD after Bellatrix. What?
Wait, what? Who do you make a call to? What's the number?
What?
0800 Vitalik Mabul.
Well, just wait. This gets dumber. Okay, strategy for estimating the TTD. To set the total terminal difficulty value for the merge, we will first predict the total difficulty value at given dates and then tweak it considering the hashword changes. So that value, people, for the people who don't understand, that value doesn't mean jack shit and it can be changed at any time, all the time. Okay. All right. Fancy graphs. Everybody loves the fancy graphs. I know. I'm a big fan of the fancy graphs too. What's very important are incentives, people. Okay. We need to remember what the incentives are to get something done. If you have to move the goalposts, you move them. Okay? This is how the shitcoin world works. And it works well. Here we go. The scenario gives us less space to achieve TTD before DevCon. What does DevCon have to do with achieving this value? What does a conference of developers have to do with a move from proof of work to proof of stake? This is just completely ridiculous. Anyways, but we have more time to adjust TTD based on a potential DAG hash rate drop. Okay, so this value really has to do with the hash rate. All right. Now, that's right. There's more to this ridiculousness. There is so much more. So here we go. This is a linked document to the TTD prediction for the merge. Now, I want people who have their value stored in Ethereum to really think about this, okay? Your hard-earned money, the time that you can never get back. I really want you to pay attention, okay? So here's the TTD prediction for the merge. Very pretty chart, up and to the right. Very scientific. But this is my favorite part right here. The Bordel merge party. That's right. Okay, and you've got the little 3D psychedelic pandas. This is very inspiring. I mean, so first of all, bordel in French essentially means nightmare or mess. Okay, so I don't know if they meant to choose that word on purpose or they knew what it really meant. I'm not 100% sure. But just
they want the hash rate to drop. Is that what's going on? They want the hash rate to kind of gradually drop. Well, surely if you're a miner, you don't want to be the one switching off first because you want to keep earning. So I don't understand what produces that kind of gradual decrease?
Walton, I'll tell you what produces that gradual decrease. DevCon, October 11th to October 14th. That's what produces that decrease. They want to make sure that they
reach... It's the house music festival, is it?
They want to reach that number, Walton, before the DevCon conference, which has nothing to do with Ethereum. It has nothing to do with storing value. It has nothing to do with any of the hocus pocus unicorn crap that they try to sell you. So you really have to wonder the ridiculousness of this whole thing. And if you are one of the people who has decided misguidedly to store your value in Ethereum, I want you to remember the merge party and DevCon. Those are the metrics. Those are the goals, okay? We're going to have a merge party, and we've got to reach it before DevCon. We got to get that TDD number before DevCon. I can't believe that anyone is taking these people seriously. I really can't. And all I've learned at this point, because I read through a whole bunch of gibberish to all of you, all I've learned is that value can be changed anytime for any reason. So why even have this value? Why not just tell everyone go and flip the switch? Oh, that's right. We're doing the decentralization theater. And we're making sure everyone's entertained by the decentralization. This is so pathetic. I'm still going to stick to this is a sell the news event. I think it's going to be a giant nothing burger for these people. And it's just really unfortunate that so many people have taken the time not to understand Bitcoin and to waste their time shitcoining because of the perceived perceived community and inclusiveness and all of this crap. I've said this in the past, Bitcoin is the most inclusive monetary system. Why? Because you can voluntarily join it or leave it when you, the individual, decides. Walton, thoughts?
Yeah, it's very powerful stuff, Phil. Like, shitcoiners are going to shitcoin. And they're also going to gaslight, and they're going to be manipulative, and they're going to take advantage of the fact that their marketing materials aren't scrutinized in the same way that marketing of, you know, real products are. And so many consumers feel protected when they're not, and they read these research documents, which are just marketing materials, and think that they're geniuses, and gamble away their life savings. And it's very, very sad. But they don't need to do it. You don't need to be nihilistic anymore. You don't need to be plagued by the psychological conditioning from the fiat world. Like, you can empower yourself. You can be hopeful, and you can choose to build, and you can choose Bitcoin.
Very well said. Very, very well said. Yeah. So look, there's going to be a lot more hype, a lot more FUD. I'd love it if somebody could actually point me to a document that shows how the Ethereum fools reached the 99.95% number of how it's going to save the world and lower the carbon footprint and all this crap. I'd love to see where that number came from. And Walton, you're a math guy, so I feel like you'd really appreciate to see the formula that was used to get to this number.
I think the 99.95% comes from the amount of decentralization that decreases during that time, and how much censorship resistance decreases during that time, and how much more centralized and corrupt it all becomes.
Energy usage will drop by 99.95%. Just don't forget that, okay? Ethereum makes the world a better place with unicorns and rainbows. All right. So we are done with the shitcoin corner. Unless, Walton, you have anything else you'd like to add for this one?
Yeah, fuck shitcoins.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Fuck shitcoins. I mean, man, how do I forget that? Okay. Well, before we wrap this up, though, we want to give a shout out to our listeners, right? Shout out to all the fans. And we want to give a special shout out to the people streaming us sats. And we've got Ida Dude. Craig is as much a Satoshi as the Tooth Fairy is real. Yeah, that's right. Because on our last episode, we covered BSV. And for the people who don't know, right, the HODLNOT trial is, I think, starting this week. If I'm not mistaken, it starts in like 2 days, possibly 2 or 3 days. You know, for the people who want to donate to HODLNOT to essentially fight CSW and his ridiculous allegations, check out defendingbtc.com. CryptoCloaks.com. That's right.
You could also go to CryptoCloaks and buy one of those cool like helmets or little models of Hodlinor. Yeah. And you get, I think 50% of that goes to that good, you know, defending Hodlinor. So yeah, defendingbtc.com or CryptoCloaks. And if you use, I believe, is it the code PLEB? You'll get a discount
underground.
On your CryptoCloaks deal as well. So you can get a discount and help out Hodlinor over at CryptoCloaks. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Pleb Underground for a 5% discount. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll catch you all next time.